Radio Prague News.
Several Czech firms are exporting weapons to Russia despite the embargo imposed by the EU and the US, a Polish daily reported on Monday. The opening of the controversial Blanka Tunnel complex in Prague, scheduled for April, will be delayed till next year, and the publishers of Adolf Hitler's speeches, who were prosecuted but not convicted of propagating Nazism, are demanding financial compensation from the state. Several Czech firms are exporting weapons to Russia despite the embargo imposed by the EU and the US in response to Russia's intervention in Ukraine, the Polish daily Rzeczpospolita reported on Monday. Its journalists claim that the US Bushmaster and German Heckler Koch rifles, which are officially designated for hunters and exported to Russia, could end up in the hands of pro-Russian separatists. Jan Jindrich of the government's weapons export licensing department told the Daily that the Czech side has guarantees that the weapons are for private use and do not end up in the hands of military or paramilitary units. The article also quoted an EU representative who pointed out that the embargo did not apply to contracts signed before August 2014. The opening of the controversial Blanka Tunnel complex in Prague, which was scheduled for April, will be delayed till next year. Aktualnie.cz reports it on Monday. Hundreds of kilometers of electric cables, which were damaged by heavy rainfall last year and by dampness within the tunnel, will have to be replaced. The tunnel, which has been under construction since 2007, was originally scheduled to open in 2011, but has been hit by many delays, with the latest deadline set for April of this year. It has come under criticism for massive costs overruns, which have cost Prague nearly 37 billion crowns. The publishers of Adolf Hitler's speeches, who were prosecuted but not convicted of propagating Nazism, are demanding over 7 million crowns in compensation from the state. An editor and two co-owners of a Brno-based publishing house were cleared of charges in January after the court issued a verdict that found no evidence that the collection of Hitler's speeches promoted the Nazi ideology. The book, which was released in 2012, consists of 18 addresses delivered by the Nazi dictator between 1939 and 1942. Czech President Miloš Zeman is in Washington, where he will give a speech on the danger of international terrorism at a conference of the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee on Monday. The Czech president is expected to hold talks with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who is also attending the gathering. During his stay in Washington, President Zeman will pay tribute to the victims of the 9/11 terrorist attack at the Pentagon Memorial and lay a wreath at the statue of first Czechoslovak President Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk. No talks with US top officials have been planned. Czech cross-country skier Lukáš Bauer took the silver medal at the Nordic Skiing World Championships in Falun, Sweden on Sunday. First place went to Norway's Petter Northug. 37-year-old Bauer, for whom this may be the last big race in his career, said he was overjoyed by the victory. The only other Czech in the running, Martin Jakš, placed 16th. My name is Ruth Franková and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, the multimillionaire leader of ANO, Andrej Babiš, strengthens his position at the head of the party, and this being Monday, we'll bring you a roundup of the sports news. Later on, in one-on-one, we meet Hasan Mizian, a Syrian-born doctor who is the only Muslim lawmaker in the Czech parliament. All that coming up, so do please stay with us. Andrej Babiš was elected leader of his ANO party on Saturday, gaining the approval of all 186 delegates gathered for the party's annual congress in Prague. Expressing surprise over his 100% victory, Mr. Babiš sounded a combative, partisan tone to the party faithful. The finance minister's harshest words were targeted at his fellow coalition partners, the Social Democrats. Dominic Yoon asked political analyst Yeti Pehe for his take on Babiš's victory.
It wasn't surprising at all because he basically owns the movement. I thought that perhaps just for the public, it would have looked better if Mr. Babiš managed to stage at least a small surprise, for example, two or three people not voting for him.
Is there a danger of building up a party like that based so strongly around the personality of one single person?
I think that ANO is really not a political party. Here we have a one-man show. I think the Congress of ANO reflected that fact, but also Mr. Babiš doesn't seem to be satisfied with only running this one political group, but he also wants to control media, and on top of that, he is the owner of one of the biggest companies in the Czech Republic.
And Mr. Babiš, following his victory in the elections, had some surprisingly strong words for his fellow coalition partners, the Social Democrats, accusing them of building up an irresponsible state, wanting to raise taxes and so forth. So what are the political tactics behind turning on his own coalition?
Well, I think two political strategies behind Mr. Babiš's criticism of the Social Democrats. One is, of course, his goal to win parliamentary elections in 2017. And so this was, in a way, a campaign gimmick already. He knows he has to stay in the government in the foreseeable future and cooperate with the Social Democrats, but at the same time, he had a stage there to make his views known, and he did that. And then I think that Mr. Babiš basically would like to govern with his own party, his own movement only. And so this was a strategy to put Social Democrats down. They will have their own Congress in 1 month. So I think this was sort of a preemptive strike.
Theoretically, one might assume that there would be a more logical fit for the ANO party in a coalition with right-of-centre parties such as Top09 and ODS, but for some reason, both sides seem to be ruling that out.
ANO, of course, given its increasingly rightist profile, would be better off in a coalition with the right-of-centre parties, but there are personal issues, especially between Mr. Babiš and Mr. Kalousek, the vice chairman of the Top09, and so the cooperation is not possible. I think that one of the reasons why Mr. Babiš so strongly attacked the Social Democrats and spoke about their irresponsible spending and so on was also to profile his own movement as a right-of-center liberal movement. He wanted to give the movement a place on the political map and also to get voters who in the past have voted for Top09 and Civic Democratic Party. So I think that these statements he made had two objectives. One was to weaken the Social Democrats, and the second was to attract right-of-center voters who are still supporting Top09 and the Civic Democrats.
Political analyst Yeti Pehe speaking there to Dominic Yoon. And now it's time for the sports news, for which I'm joined by Ian Willoughby.
Despite being the most successful Czech cross-country skier ever in terms of world championships and Olympic medals, Lukáš Bauer has never taken a major title. It was therefore something of the story of his career when the 37-year-old came second in the 50-kilometre classic in his last ever world championships in Sweden's Falun on Sunday. Nevertheless, the modest Bauer told Czech radio that his latest medal and previous world championship silver in the 15-kilometre classic meant a lot to him.
I'm really happy, but I didn't jump for joy in Liberec in 2009 either. I'm not the type to appear on town squares shouting about what a great guy I am. Each of my world championship medals has its own story. This one is great, and it wouldn't have taken much for things to have ended as well as they did for Katka at the Olympics.
The soon-to-retire Bauer was referring to Kateřina Neumannová, who took her first Olympic gold in her final race in the competition in Turin in 2006. Ice hockey, and while some eyebrows were raised at Jaromír Jágr's move from the New Jersey Devils to the relatively obscure Florida Panthers, the Czech Stars got off to a bright start at his new club. In his second game for Florida on Sunday, Jágr notched up one goal and one assist in a 4-3 victory over Tampa Bay, climbing to joint fifth in the NHL's all-time goal-scoring table with 717. The regular season in the Czech Extraliga has come to an end, with Třinec coming first on 107 points, just two ahead of Litvinov, who made a late surge. Meanwhile, Mladá Boleslav reached the playoffs for the first time in the club's history. Former top eight regulars Liberec failed to make the cut for the third time in succession, and Slavia Prague had a nightmare, experiencing a plethora of problems and finishing bottom. Moving on to tennis, and Lucia Šafářová has won the sixth WTA title of her career after overcoming Victoria Arazenka of Belarus 6-4, 6-3 in the final of the Qatar Open on Saturday. That result sees Šafářová climb to 11th in the world rankings. Indeed, with Barbara Zahavová-Strýcová just reaching 20th, there are now, alongside Petra Kvitová and Karolina Plíšková, no fewer than four Czechs in the women's top 20 at present. Finally, soccer, and Viktoria Plzeň are now 3 points clear of the top of the Czech First Division after a 3-2 away win over Hradec Králové on Sunday. The leaders took the chance to extend their lead after second-placed Sparta Prague had on Saturday drawn 1-1 away with Baník Ostrava, who equalised through Milan Baroš. That's all the sports news for today.
A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now, in the final part of our program, we take you to the Czech Senate to meet Hasan Mezian, a Syrian-born doctor who is the only Muslim lawmaker in the country's parliament. He's Ian Willoughby's guest in this week's edition of One on One.
Hasan Mezian has the distinction of being the only Muslim legislator in the Czech parliament. The Social Democrat senator moved to Prague from Damascus to study medicine in 1967, and apart from spells in his native Syria and elsewhere, has spent most of his life practicing in the central Bohemian town of Litoměřice. When we met at the Senate, topics included Syria, Czech Muslim life, and growing anti-Muslim populism in politics. But first, I was curious to hear about Dr. Mezian's period treating Bedouins during his military service.
I was working for a time in the desert, in a Bedouin village, and I had to do everything for them.
Must have been difficult being a doctor in the desert.
Yes, it was very difficult, but I had to treat everything, even children and adults, and to make some small surgery operations and even obstetrics things. Yes, I had only animals I didn't treat.
Given that you come from Syria, it must have been very hard for you in the last 4 years to observe what's been happening in the country.
Yes, the last 4 years. Which is happening because I still have friends there and relatives, and I'm speaking sometimes to them. And the situation of Syria is a very bad, very bad situation. The people there are very friendly, and they didn't distinguish between religions and or ethnics, and. The hospitality there in the first place, and I didn't expect that some violence like this can be in Syria.
Is there anything practical you have been able to do to help people in Syria from the Czech Republic?
I'm trying to help them with the cooperation of my colleagues in the Senate and in the Parliament of Czech Republic, that we are doing our best to help Syrians, the refugees. And we are going to do our best, if we can, and what we can, to make the violence in Syria end by diplomatic ways.
There was a lot of debate in this country about bringing something like 70 Syrians here for medical treatment. How did you view that discussion that many Czech politicians seemed reluctant to take these Syrian refugees here for medical treatment.
Well, about 70 refugees from Syria, it means 15 children. They are sick. So it's a humanity thing. It's not a question to solve. We have to accept this because the number is not very high. But I heard about some numbers of more people. Some, I don't know, maybe European Union or some other countries want Syrians to come to Czech Republic. In my opinion, the best we can do for the Syrians is to help them to end the violence, to make the violence end in Syria. It's the best thing what to do, first of all. The second, there are about 10 million Syrians are refugees. It's the half of the Syrian population which are not at home. 4 million in the neighboring countries, and 6 are refugees inside Syria, but they are not in their homes. They are in a very bad situation. And the best what we can to do for them, not only Czech Republic, but all the countries in the world, is to help Syrian people to live at their homes and to make the violence end.
You are known as the only Muslim legislator in the Czech Republic. Have you ever experienced xenophobia from Czech people as a Muslim man?
Well, I didn't. I'm living here almost 47 years in Czech Republic, and I'm not solving the question of the religion. I believe in God, but I don't believe in God in a way of being different in a different religion from the others. I didn't face during that time a serious xenophobia attacks, but only as a politic who has a Muslim name, some of the extremists were writing to me from some movement like Islam we don't need in, or something like this, or they want to make to go for a walk with dogs and porks and so on in the beside Muslim temples.
You're referring here to Tomio Okamura and his recent thing on Facebook.
Yeah, well, I know him personally. I don't think that he means it. He wanted maybe to make some politic points. I don't believe that he means it.
It seems to me that there isn't much prejudice towards Muslims in the Czech Republic. Is that perhaps because many of them are from the professional classes? For example, you're a doctor. Many Muslims are also doctors or lawyers, or they have other good jobs. Do you think that's one reason that there is not much tension here?
No tension. That's right. The number of the Muslims are not very small, and they are not solving the question of religion. And what you say, that they are doctors, lawyers, engineers, and they are presenting themselves by their work, not by their religion.
And I guess most of them have Czech families also.
Yes, that's right. They have Czech families, and they are not solving religion at all. They are almost even assimilated here. They are celebrating the Christian celebration. Even me at home, we are celebrating Christmas and Christian celebration. We are not solving which are celebrations, which are religions. They are. When I go to the church, I go to the church. No problem for me.
Sometimes I hear the term used, the Czech Muslim community. But is there really an actual active community?
It's a very nice question, because Czech Muslim community, for me, I think, doesn't exist. I realized that I am Muslim when they asked me, are you Muslim? There are no Muslims community, you are right.
And that's because people have been here for so long, and perhaps there are so few.
Yes, there are so few, and they are Czechs almost. And even Czech people, many of Czech people don't solve the question of religion, and they are the same like all Czech people.
Given the fact that there are so few Czech Muslims, why do you think that some populist politicians like Tomio Okamura and others are evidently attempting to use the question of Muslims to create fear and to kind of use this as a way to campaign politically?
Exactly the reason what did you say. I don't believe that there is a real danger from Muslims. The real danger is from these people, these populist people, because when they want to make fear here, they are helping the terrorist organizations like ISIS or something like that, because ISIS has an aim to make fear in the world. And they are helping them to make destabilization of... maybe they don't want this. They want to make political points. I don't know.
But why do you think they're doing that? Given that there are so few Czech Muslims, why is this their main thing? Why are they using this as a way to achieve popularity?
I think that they are foolish, or they are making cooperation with the terrorists. I don't believe that they are making direct cooperation with terrorists. So
they're just stupid.
They are stupid, yes.
Are you worried by this trend of politicians like Okamura, even some members of the Civic Democrats, trying to use this way to attain popularity?
I'm worried, but not scared. I'm worried because they are making people fear. And if they succeed, it will be very bad for this country, because it will make fear and destabilization of the country, and which is more dangerous to have the enemies are 70,000 of terrorists in ISIS or 1.5 billion Muslims in the world. You want to make from 1.5 million of Muslims in the world as enemies? I don't think that it's a wise thing.
What do you think of the pronouncements of President Milos Zeman? He seems to take every opportunity to strongly criticize radical Muslims, and it seems to be one of his main topics.
In the last days, I realized I don't know if small changes or big changes in his position in that way. I think especially after his visit to Jordan and to Arabic Emirates, I spoke with him and I asked him about that. And I think there is some changing in his opinions. It's better to make a friend with the countries who are fighting against terrorism, like Jordan, Emirates and other Muslim countries. Because 98% of the victims of terrorism are Muslim.
Senator Hassan Mezian was Ian Willoughby's guest in this edition of One on One, and I'm afraid it's brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then please write to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. This is Daniela Zarová saying thank you for joining us today, and take care.